The text is the gospel reading. It's nonsense. That was the conclusion of the best of the best. Those who've been taught by Jesus for 3 years. All this talk of an empty tomb and a risen Jesus was laros. That's a Greek word meaning nonsense, idle talk, humbug, the wild talk of a delirious person. I'll tell you what nonsense is. It's nonsense to embalm the person you call Lord. That's what the woman set out to do. That's what they had planned on doing since Good Friday, going out and buying the spices to do it after the Sabbath. This was no spur-of-the-moment decision, and they set out very early in the morning because they were expecting some state of decomposition. We know from the first verse they were going to embalm someone. We know from the third, it was the Lord Jesus. Emperor Julian the Apostate said that Christians were irreligious because having turned from the God, they have turned from the gods to worship corpses. They aren't going to the tomb to worship the corpse of Jesus, but they are going to properly bury the body of their Lord. What sort of a Lord needs his body embalmed? But we do that too. We wish to preserve Jesus as a dead Lord. A dead Lord who can be kept out of your life in the place that you put him. He doesn't reign and rule over your life. He's a fixture in your life, like a picture or a crucifix on the wall. You can go to it, you can look at it, you can think about it when and where you want to. But he doesn't come down from that cross or off his place on the wall. He is part of your worldview, but he doesn't shape it, doesn't direct it, doesn't maintain it. To the apostles who did not believe the women, their talk of a resurrected Jesus was nonsense. I'll tell you what is nonsense. To seek the living with the dead. Virtually all English translations have among the dead, except for Young's literal, which properly translates with the dead. Among isn't even listed in most Greek dictionaries as a translation of this word. In fact, the King James only translates 5 of the 473 times this word is used, does it translate among. But why does that matter? Well, because it's true to say that the living Jesus is not with the dead, but he is certainly among them. David preaches that in Psalm 139. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. Job does too. The realm of the dead is naked before God. Proverbs 15:11 proclaims that the realm of the dead is open before the Lord. Those in Christ lost to us on this side of death aren't lost to him on the other side. He is very much among them. And Jesus being among them makes them very much alive to him and to us. Jesus proclaims that the Lord is among the dead and they aren't dead to him when he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who died long before. When he says that, he's proving that he is not the God of the dead but of the living, for they are all alive to him. It's nonsense to seek Jesus with dead presidents, kings, or gods of the past. They are all wases. You know how painful it is when a loved one first dies and you catch yourself talking of them in the present tense and you quickly revert to the past tense? Well, because Jesus is among the dead and Jesus isn't a past tense, no one who has died in Christ is in the past tense either. St. Augustine said, Jesus entered death as a lamb, but he devoured it as a lion. Paul said in Christ, we can taunt death. We can tease death. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? Novelist Taylor Caldwell said that he who laughs remains untouched by death. Can we really laugh at death after it has drained the life out of a loved one and relentlessly approaches us to do the same? It's nonsense to laugh at death. Not if the living Jesus is among the dead, victorious over the sin that killed them, the law that sentenced them to death, and the devil that held them. Oh, death is still real. But now that Jesus is no longer with the dead, but raised victorious over death to walk among the dead, death is a mere shadow. That's what your beloved Psalm 23 says. The valley of death is a shadow. Because of our Lord, our good shepherd is with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus remains with, same Greek word, the living even in death. Because in him, death is a shadow, a specter, a phantasm, without substance. Theologian Daniel Barnhouse, who died in 1960, was driving his young children home from their mother's funeral. They were inconsolable. Suddenly a truck passed them, engulfing their car in its shadow. He said, "Children, would you rather be run over by a truck or by its shadow?" The children said, "Well, of course, Dad, we'd much rather be run over by a shadow. That can't hurt us at all." Dr. Barnhouse said, "Did you know that 2,000 years ago, the truck of death ran over the Lord Jesus in order that only its shadow might run over us?" Could it be? Could it really be that the monster who took your loved one away, the dark feeling you felt at the grave and can plague you still today, is only a shadow? Sometimes walking at night beside dark Howard Lane, a distant car behind me will cast my shadow on a nearby bush. Lost in thought, I jump when I see it, laughing that I've been frightened by a shadow. Is the monster death no more than that? In Jesus it is. To the apostles, though, it was nonsense that Jesus had risen victorious over such a bloody, torturous death. A death he said he was dying while carrying the sins of the world. He told them on Thursday night that he would pour out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Well, he had poured out his blood all right. Peter saw Jesus bloodied and battered in the high priest's courtyard. John had seen Jesus dying drip by bloody drip on the cross. So horrible the dying, so complete the death, it was nonsense to say he is risen. No, I'll tell you what is nonsense. It's nonsense to embalm the Lord. It's nonsense to seek the living one with the dead. And it's nonsense to forget the rhema of God. Are two Greek words translated word. The more familiar logos and the less familiar rhema. Logos stresses the thought expressed. Rhema stresses the fact God spoke. Remember those commercials when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen? When God speaks, how much more so? No one can believe the dead really rise who doesn't hear God speak. The soldiers guarding the tomb saw the resurrection and not only didn't believe it, they were willing to lie about it. Jesus says in Luke 16, if people don't listen to God's word, they won't be convinced, even though someone should rise from the dead. That was the woman Good Friday night. After the Sabbath, as they bought the spices, and on their way to the tomb at deep dawn, they weren't listening to the rhema of God. They didn't remember the rhema the Lord Jesus had spoken to them. No one on their own does in the face of death. So the angels preach God's word to the women. They say that Jesus had to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and had to be crucified. Someone had to answer for all the sin, all the sewage, all the sinfulness that infects God's good creation. Someone had to pay for the sin of unbelief. Someone had to pay for all those casual yet blasphemous, oh my gods. Someone had to pay for God's word not being gladly heard and learned. And the payment was death, and not just death, but damnation. Jesus had told them that he must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. But why must it be him? Because otherwise, it would be you. And God loved you too much to do that. So instead of you, God betrayed His perfect Son, who was a gentle, spotless lamb, who never had hurt a fly, never doubted Him, never misused His name, always gladly heard and learned it. Instead, He betrayed His beloved Son. The Father handed His beloved Son over to sinners, over to the devil, over to death itself, and all three savaged Him, all three punished Him, all three damned Him, till there was no life in Him. But as certainly as the Son must be betrayed, must be crucified, so must He rise on the third day. That did it. The memories came flooding back the way a song remembers when. The way a smell transports you decades back. The way a sight sends you 1,000 miles away. They didn't remind themselves of the rhema. It's a Greek passive. God did the reminding. God caused them to remember, and He did it through His rhema. While they were standing in a tomb with no risen Jesus anywhere in sight. Yet by God's grace, they were reminded and they believed. How joyous the trip to the apostles was. What great news they had to tell. But what's more nonsensical than forgetting the holy rhema of God is to be reminded of it and think it's nonsense. St. Augustine says that in his day, 400 AD, if someone thought the resurrection was idle talk, nonsense, people say, "He's all twisted up." Everybody loathes and detests what he says, turns away from him, closes their ears, and refuses to listen to him. Ha! But the church then was only 400 years away from the resurrection. We're thousands. C.S. Lewis comments on this. Even though Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of the coming cosmic summer, it still feels like winter. But often in the very early spring, it feels like that. However, that doesn't take away the nearness of spring at all. 2,000 years are only a day or two in a cosmic scale. A man can say the resurrection happened 2,000 years ago in the same way he says, "I saw a red bud yesterday." The fact that in the early spring you can still feel winter's blast does not take away from the red bud's truthful preaching that spring is near. Wow, that's a lot to believe. Not even the apostles did at first. Our text stops before verse 12. Verse 12 tells you that after Peter heard what the woman had said, after he thought it was nonsense, nevertheless he ran to the tomb, looked in it, saw the empty grave clothes, and went away shaking his head. He still didn't believe, but he moved from nonsense to marvel. I'll tell you what is nonsense. After 2,000 years of Christianity celebrating an empty tomb, not at least going and looking for yourself. You don't even have to run. It will still be empty no matter when you get there. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.